Director Green?
Yes.
Director Brandman? Director Sheldon? Director Yeo? Director Zara?
Here.
Director Top? Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Bilodeau? Director Sarmiento? You do have a forum of your committee.
Okay. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
Nope, there are none.
Oh. What about the new bills?
The Aqua Alert.
Uh-huh.
This is what I just handed out. We got a alert yesterday.
Right.
That a bill was a bait and switch. It does include a fee for all water systems.
Did we have that on the agenda?
It's not.
Okay. We do have a matter too late.
Okay. Can we vote to put it on the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Yep. Okay.
No second.
All right.
AB 402.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Rebs?
Yes.
That motion carries.
Okay. Shall we do that now or wait until?
Sure, if you'd like. Basically, this bill was
first. There's no visitor participation, but just in case anybody wants to talk. Okay, and then let's do the consent calendar.
I'll move. Second.
Okay. Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
That motion carries. 3 yes votes.
Okay. Now let's go to state. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did I skip one?
Yes.
Proposed additions to the okay. All right. That's what I was first thinking. Okay. Should we do that first and then wait? Okay. Go ahead.
So we have a really nice 2019-2020 legislative platform that we did the retreat, and you put a lot of policies in there that really help us take quick action on topics of interest to the district. One topic that we do not have as a policy item in our legislative platform deals with PFOS. And since we've been taking so much action on state and federal bills, Mike thought it would be a good idea to add this topic to our legislative platform. So it's before you here.
Yes.
Yes, PFAS.
PFAS. Uh-huh. You said OS.
Well, it's, yeah, OA, OS, and PFAS.
PFAS.
The umbrella.
Yeah.
We got to find a shortened way of doing that.
You could call it perfluorinated code.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I see.
I can't even say it.
No, okay, say it, Pat.
The new terrible.
Per and polyfluoral alkyl substances.
Alkyl.
That's PFAS.
Well, PFAS, that's the group. But PFAS covers thousands.
Right.
Are we on yet?
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
Okay.
And so basically this...
We are on item 2.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Dealing with PFAS, it basically states what our positions have always been, advocating that the EPA set the maximum contaminant level and not each state do their individual things. Also to advocate for state and federal funding to ensure that there's... the costs that are associated with PFAS monitoring, research, and potential treatment will be helped out by the state and federal funding sources. And then also to oppose any legislation that sets PFAS MCLs in statute rather than going through the regulatory process, looking at sound science and health information. So those are what we're recommending in the legislative platform.
Okay, any questions? Comments? Do we have a motion?
I'm re-looking at this thing.
It's a lot of what we've been discussing.
Keep in mind these are broad policies.
Yeah,
great.
So.
It's just a shame that the state's jumping ahead like we thought they might do.
Well, I think we do want to look at it at both the state and the federal level.
Yeah.
Because obviously the state can set its own MCL, and I think wouldn't that supersede the federal?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whatever's more restrictive.
Yes. But the state does supersede anything the feds do.
Not usually.
Not usually.
Not usually.
It can. I'm sorry.
In case can't.
Right. That's it. But, I mean, don't put it out in that. Yes.
No, an example would be where EPA right now is a response level of 70 for PFAS, and the state of, which state was it? New Jersey.
New Jersey.
They set an MCL at 13. So in that state, they have to abide by an MCL of 13, irrespective of what the federal government says. Like Director Rose says, it's the most restrictive of the two.
So one is more stringent than the federal, then state gets to supersede.
I suppose then if the state was higher than the federal level, the state level would supersede?
No.
Then the federal. Okay, so.
Whichever is more restrictive.
It comes under the 10th Amendment, is what happens. It's a state issue, and therefore they can take the lead on it, and that's why they take precedence. Usually it's the feds that do.
Isn't Nevada, they have like extremely high, it's like 300 something?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, out of the bullets, four bullets that you have in this item, the last one, they advocate for, let me back up here, how did I lose that? Advocate for state and federal funding to ensure that adequate funds are available to address costs associated with PFAS monitoring, research, and potential groundwater treatment by Hillside Media's groundwater producers. Is there any action related to getting federal funding, state and federal funding for this? Or are they just talking about, we're going to set the levels?
Right now, the feds are talking about remediation of PFAS through the Superfund process. But what they're looking at in saying that is specifically looking at military bases where the concentrations are extremely high in one location. We're somewhat unique because ours are relatively lower levels but spread out over a groundwater base. We have been unable so far to identify a source of the PFAS, although we do know that it is being discharged at certain levels through wastewater treatment plants upstream.
So would that be a state water resource control board and the regional boards kind of taking a lead in doing that?
Well, once DDW sets the response level and eventually sets an MCL, then we would expect that they would then or could potentially go to these wastewater dischargers, and it would be up to them to be compliant with that MCL. Is that a true statement, Ben?
Yes. They would need some more firm regulatory level, such as an MCL, to go to the dischargers.
Okay, until they set an MCL or regulatory level, they are going past that yet.
Legally, they don't have to do anything.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll move the recommended action here.
Yep. Second.
Okay.
Green?
Yes.
Sheldon?
I didn't hear the judge. I wrote my vote, so definitely need to vote.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Lillido?
I'm in the same boat as Steve.
You just walked in.
I just walked in.
Okay, moving on to the state. Who's on the line?
Don Gilbert, Ben Smith, Jason Eichert here.
Okay.
And yes, Jason and Paul Gonzalez is here.
Last person sounded pretty broken up.
Oh, my apologies. It's Jason and Paul Gonzalez.
Okay.
Don, do you want to go first and talk about SB 200, the mining legislation? We're recommending a watch position.
Sure, and I think the underwater sound might be going both ways here a little bit, but so SB 200 is part of the Senate two-part action to counter the water tax and have a different solution. We've been working with some other folks very intently to make this successful because you have to have an alternative to the water tax to kill the water tax. As I think we've told you previously, or actually maybe this happened since our last call now that I think about it, a few weeks ago the Senate, two weeks ago or so, the Senate took action in Budget Subcommittee to appropriate $150 million annually in the annual, continuous appropriation to address the safe drinking water issue, and SB 200 is the vehicle that says how the money is spent, essentially, and other things related to that on the Senate side. So they're a package. And we certainly understand the concern about ensuring that local knowledge is accounted for when mapping the aquifers, and agree with that. And we understand the watch position there. Recommendation. We also, you know, it might be worth, it's up to you guys, talking through, you know, the value of considering supporting, it's fine to be, to watch it, by the way, but just because, as I said in the beginning, you can't defeat the water tax without an alternative to the water tax, and this is a essential part of the alternative, and the water tax is just about dead. It's, you know, if anyone's seen The Princess Bride, it's almost dead, but not quite. And we want to make sure that we keep strong, we mean the entire water community, on the Senate action. So it's fine if you choose to continue to watch it, but just a consideration. And in terms of addressing the concern in that bill, whether you watch it or support or whatever, we will, working with Jason's firm, you know, do our best at the right time. I don't think now is the right time because of some political sensitivities to get that concept in SB 200.
Okay. What do you suggest?
Excuse me?
What do you suggest?
Well, I mean, just because the value, I mean, if you weigh the values of the local, the language that we need to try to get into SB 200 versus, you know, the damage that a water tax would do, you know, if it was me personally, not knowing all your other considerations, I would support SB 200 because it's, along with the Senate action and the budget subcommittee, is essential to defeating the water tax. So that's what I would suggest, but I don't feel that way so strongly that we would be uncomfortable if you just watched it.
What were the issues with it that concerns us?
It's going to solve all our problems.
No, I have the same question. Why would tell us why we would not? Why you think we would not want to support with amendment?
Alicia, I don't know if you want to take over here, Alicia, or I'm happy to speak to it, whatever you prefer.
If you could summarize, that'd be great.
Okay. So it's our understanding that that there's a concern that when the state board maps the water systems, the aquifers that are contaminated for purposes of spending money to clean them up and make them safe, that it's silent on whether they consult with local agencies who have the most knowledge in doing so. And so I think someone on your staff, and I don't recall who, would like some language in there that just kind of puts a marker there that says, that the state board should also consult with locals when doing the mapping of these contaminated aquifers. So that would be the amendment you would want. I think we're going to work on that for you, whether you support or watch. I think it's not the kind of thing that right now we have the Senate President Pro Tem and her staff doing heavy lifting on the guts of this bill. That's kind of a little bit of around the edges issue, so we want to approach it, calibrate our approach to it that way without causing consternation in the Pro Tem's office. We think we can do that whether you support or watch.
Is the Pro Tem supporting this?
Sir, yeah, this is the whole
thing. Part of her package, right? That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
And Pat, did you have any comments?
So if we ask for that amendment, we're going to look like we're bringing up a small issue when they're trying to fight a bigger battle, sort of? Is that more of an irritant request, how it would be received?
In terms of where we are, yes, because of right now, I think later in the process we'll be able to deal with, like you said, a little bit of the lesser issues. Not that it's not important. We know that it is. But kind of the lesser issues. Right now, the political place this is in is we're dealing with the main issues, and it's very delicate. And the pro tem is really going out on the fence. She's resisting the governor and resisting the assembly speaker, and so she's looking for all the support she can get. The pro tem has rejected attacks, and you know the assembly and the governor, as Don has alluded to, have not done that yet. So she has some exposure.
Okay. Can I hear from Pat?
I'd say a supporter.
I think there was just comment between Jason and myself that it was focused on the small systems, and that the small system focus could impact the larger groundwater basin and dwarf the fact that it's being managed well by a lot of large systems. I think that was kind of a concern. Small.
Okay. These are water basins in disadvantaged communities. So we might have some portion of our basin, or we're included in, I mean.
Jason said this impacts us, yeah.
So they would look at our basin, but are there any disadvantaged communities in our district? They get clean water, so I don't think to see the state wanting to do anything, want to spend any money down here, or am I incorrect in that assumption?
I think the concern goes back to like the Environmental Working Group picking up that one water system in Orange County has a concern, and they put that emphasis on the entire groundwater basin that, oh, you know, there's a contaminated source where there was maybe one system that had one issue or violation. So
but we don't currently have any systems in Orange County that have a problem, do we?
No.
We fixed, no.
No, you're right.
So why is state going to want to spend money down here when other folks need the money a lot more? I don't see really wanting to play ball in our pool, right? Right?
Yes.
Wrong?
No, you're right.
I think, assuming the pro tem stepped up, we should step up.
Yep.
But that's our only concern. I mean, that's like, so you like they're not going to consult with us?
I think.
Go get us as much juice as you can out of us stepping up.
Yeah, I agree. I think the pro tem is really going out on a limb. This is a huge battle for her, so she would probably appreciate if we do step up, especially this early. And not just be so cautious, and that will give us some attention from her down the line when we do need them. So.
Is there any other reason that we can think of not to? I assume Aqua has not stepped up?
Aqua has taken a support position on this bill.
Oh, okay. Then, okay, so we don't have to wait for them.
I move to support.
I second.
You can have it.
Okay.
I don't care. So, are there any other negative reasons, staff?
You know what? Who's a voting member?
Yeah, I may not be.
It's Directors Green, Sheldon, Zara, Rogue, and Wynn.
Oh.
Okay.
So to answer your question, no.
Okay. And go get us some more equity out of doing this, guys, ladies.
I think your instinct is right, and we will.
And I know the pro tem personally, and I think maybe a letter from me.
No, now you're hogging.
Good enough. Hey, I'll go with it.
Just text her. Okay? You know that will. You give her a ticket, you can do that.
But it would be official because I don't think she knows that I'm on OCLED.
Okay.
Okay. So this would be a good.
I don't have a problem.
I do. I think it's out of our protocol. I think you want to let her know. Like I think it comes from the president or the something like that. So
all right.
We have like we've had these other in 10 years before and other things that have come up and I think it'd be great if you reached out to her personally.
If you wanted,
because then going forward,
she'll never see you.
I know Congressman Ken Calvert on something that we're dealing with because I know him for a long time. Am I going to write him letters? Or have Vince write him letters as the president of the board? Is there some deference to our leadership?
We can send a letter. This was not my intention. I'm trying to be nice.
I'm just trying to explain that. And I appreciate you. I appreciate your suggestion was well intentioned and not. I appreciate that, but just this problem will come up again.
Yeah, I think we all understand that. I think Vince should sign it, but right. Include you as a reference.
That is fine. It doesn't matter.
Okay, let's take. And I didn't mean to come across. I was joking with my. So, but I think you should definitely send a personal text or message. That'd be great.
Sure.
Okay.
Or forward the letter with a note.
Yeah.
A note to her.
Yeah. What you do with the letter is your business.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
all right.
Maybe.
Do you have any comments?
Nope.
Okay.
I think a support position would be great.
Okay. Do we want to take? Okay. Let's go ahead and take this vote.
Yeah.
Vote to change that to support.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Director Green.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Zara.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes. Okay. Next, Garciasville.
Don, do you want to take that one? AB 756.
I'll pass it to Jason Eicher.
Okay.
I think we can dispense with this one relatively quickly. You guys currently have, either an opposed or an opposed unless amended position on the bill. Obviously, you guys just took your action on the PFAS issue. It's something that's getting a lot of attention up here at the state level and including in the legislature. AB 756 is a bill by Assemblymember Garcia. It previously had some very, concerning provisions in it related to notifications and timelines for you to notify customers and getting to people's emails, et cetera. It also used to be a very broad bill that covered the entire class of chemicals, which is, approaching 1,000 chemicals in that class. So the bill has, since that time, been amended a few times. And as noted in your guys' your staff analysis here, it no longer raises the same concerns. So the recommendation that you guys have is a watch.
Any questions? Any comments? Do we have a motion?
This is Christina Garcia's.
Yep.
Okay.
Could you repeat what was the changes? What were the changes? Because I think this was originally a very broad sort of. Was it narrowed down? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and I'll defer to your staff and technical experts if I miss something here. But I think one of the biggest issues was that originally this was a bill that instead of just applying to PFOA, PFOA, and PFOS. It applied to the entire family of PFAS chemicals, which, again, is extremely broad. So from a perspective of someone who has to do a testing for all of those chemicals, that's obviously very problematic because we don't even know which of those chemicals we should be focusing our efforts on from a public health perspective yet. And then in addition to that, there were other things that would have been problematic from your producers on a billing basis and on a notification basis. And so those issues, we understand, have been removed from the bill. The bill now deals with a more narrow class of the chemicals. I think it's back down to PFOA and PFOS again, I believe. It actually kind of aligns more closely with the Water Board's process for setting response and notification levels. And Alicia, Jason, others, if you have more technical feedback, correct me.
I think, like we mentioned, the original bill was very broad and had additional requirements that producers would have to do more reporting, and that definitely, we had to step back from that. I think they removed a lot of those parts. It's still a little broad and kind of follows the process that's already in place with the State Water Resources Control Board, so, it's kind of legislating a process that's already in place, so
yeah.
I think that was also, we're wondering where that's going. Because there's already a process that's beyond, but that was kind of our thoughts on that.
Right. My inclination is to stay on an opposed because it doesn't seem if we are to change our position, we're sending a message that it's okay to go as broad as you want and then work it down, and it's okay to legislate things that should be scientific in nature. So I would say, just as a symbolic measure, even if it is a little improved, I think we should not give in to this. And especially that we're dealing with, this thing at the state level already. So that's my position. I would move to stay on an oppose.
I'll second it.
Are there any problems with that?
Well, this is Jason Gonzalez. If I can jump in, I don't want to suggest there's a problem with it.
Our two firms worked with the author's office. The amendments that came to the bill in several steps were the result of a direction by the policy committee chair, Mr. Bill Quirk, who directed the author to work with the water board and other stakeholders on the amendments. And the long and short of it, they took those amendments and took a lot of the most problematic, if not all the most problematic, portions of the bill out, and there is no remaining opposition to the bill. So the only caution, and again, it doesn't suggest there's a problem, but the only caution is OCWD would be the only remaining opponent, which is just something for consideration.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, I think part of the calculus on the part of others there is that, as was noted by your staff, I mean, this is really legislating a board's process, and I think people were more comfortable with that, by and large, than creating a new process in legislation.
I mean, we're going to keep having to deal with this because, I mean, if we just say yes, then that's what the legislation is going to keep doing. They'll just keep pushing legislation without consulting us first and having us, you know, always running after them saying, please change this and please change that. So that is what my position would remain. Because
but that's how it is.
Yeah.
That is how it is.
Well, maybe we need to change that.
then maybe you better go to the assembly.
I'm going to digress for a moment.
And think about
that. But I absolutely think you're right. You've got people that don't know what they're doing, having maybe some state staff person tell them something that they want to hear, and going out and passing these laws, they really don't talk to, you know, they don't talk to their real constituents on this and those that are running it. It's like passing bills on law enforcement and never talking with the Sheriff's Association.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I agree.
If I may add, I think by keeping it opposed, we may be sending some mixed messages in what we're communicating. Because on one hand, we do want the regulators to, you know, set the MCLs and go through the process. But when we need them, we want the legislators to speak up when the regulators are going in a direction of maybe setting an NL or a response level early before doing all of the studies and things. So I don't know, it's almost a catch-22 if we do oppose, whereas we may need this or other possible bills as a vehicle to maybe stop the state regulatory side of things, or I don't know. It's fairly challenging, I think. We're in an awkward position of how things are moving with the regulators.
Right. And we're in an awkward position because they're putting us in this awkward position. And they need to realize that they shouldn't. And this is, you know, we need to be a little stronger on that, saying we're opposing this and we're opposing it. You cannot legislate something scientific without consulting the scientists first.
Right.
And we're already dealing with the state board on this, and this will be also a message to the state board as well. That's my feeling. We have to take a stronger stance because these are issues that they're not realizing how much we're scrambling down here with our producers and with all these issues that they're just sitting up there in their ivory towers looking at what looks good for their electorates. I know how they work.
But do they care or do they need to care?
They should care about what we're saying.
I'm saying they should, but yeah. I don't know that that's not what they're going to be worried about. If we're the lone person out opposing the thing that I've always seen when you take a position like that, the door is pretty much closed on you, and you don't have any way of directing or asking for anything, and so you have to be really, really careful when you do that, and particularly if you're out there alone, the door slammed on your face because you've got all these other friends who you can go to.
We are the strongest facility as far as science and testing and all of that. So you know, yep. would be happy to, maybe we can send an explanation why we continue to oppose.
Yep. Yep. Well, and Director Green, this is Jason Gonzalez again. I understand, and I don't want to be in a position defending the legislative process, because I understand the frustration where you see these bills that come out with a shotgun approach or an overreach. The flip side, and consistent with where I think Director Green was going, is Assemblymember Quirk, the policy committee chair, did a very good job of, he wasn't going to let the bill out. And the compromise was for the author to work with the board and narrow the bill, and he was very clear in which portions of the bill he wanted out of it, which were the most problematic. So now you have environmental working groups, Clean Water Action, and others in support. And again, I'm probably repeating myself too many times, but what service does it do? If Orange County Water District stays in opposition, you're, one, going to be alone, and two, we can anticipate questions of, okay, what amendments will we like in the bill? Maybe that's a conversation for another day, but some of those folks that are typically could be allies, like Clean Water Action, are going to look to us and say, what more is it you want? So it's just the policy process worked to the extent that it really did remove the portions of the bill that, my understanding, most were very, very concerned about.
I have a question. Thank you for your comment. I understand your perspective to provide more information to answer your statement. What does the bill do now with all these amendments being accepted? What does it do?
Well, Director Sheldon, what the amendments do...
No. What with the current bill as it is today, what does it do?
Yeah, as amended, the bill codifies the process by which the Department of Water Resources and the boards, it's essentially my understanding from the author's office, as well as I think Jason may be able to speak to the details, but it's codifying a process that really exists with the board as it is. So it's not doing a lot, to my knowledge. They really did.
So it's kind of safe face?
It's a pointless thing.
They should withdraw the bill. So let me ask you this. I mean, they're codifying. So if the state board and other entities want to change their process, they've got to go back and change the to-be-enacted statute.
Absolutely.
Well, that's something to talk about.
I have a question. May I ask a consultant?
Yeah, but before you go to your different question, I mean, so they have a process, and I would not understand more. So now that's being codified, it's being put into statute. And if these state agencies ever want to change their process, they've got to go back and get the legislature to change the statute. Yeah. Is that what we want? Or do we want to give them more flexibility? That's a reason to think again about it.
Well, I understood. The only answer I have to that is the state board, through consultation with the author's office, agreed to the language. Matter of fact, they provided most of the amendments, is my understanding. So, yes, it's... The teeth of the original bill have been removed. It's requiring the board to use accredited laboratories for doing testing and analyses. I mean, it's the administrative process through the board is really what's left in the bill.
So let me ask one more thought. Just another perspective is the process that the state board has can't get more onerous unless they fix the statute now, on the same hand, they can't make it harder on that we think would be harder unless they change the statute. Also, right?
Right.
So I mean, we need to kind of look at those two and understand them. If I'm making any sense.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I think perhaps what we need to do is get a breakdown of the bill,
right,
so that we fully understand what the bill is. And then that can lead us to a more informed decision on whether to change it or suggest changes, because there may be a different
locket that they can't get more funeral.
Do you think that this could wait until the next month, or should we bring this to the board, the entire board?
Well, I think it'll take a little bit of time to... Let me ask the consultants, where are we moving? What's the timeline on the bill?
Well, it's been referred to The Senate Environmental Quality Committee, it has not been set for hearing, so we have a couple of weeks minimum. From Senate EQ, it'll go to Appropriations. So we have a little bit of time. It's just now starting the second house.
Bring it to the whole board for discussion.
So, I mean, if we were to, do we have 2 weeks or do we have 4 weeks, you think?
Mm. You know, that's waiting maybe.
I'd rather prepare as 2 weeks rather than 4 weeks, just because in 4 weeks you're buttoned up against the policy committee deadlines.
Then we need to get information to put on the board agenda.
Bring it to the board.
Okay.
That's what
we'll agendize this as a matter for consideration at the next board.
We discuss it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Good.
And it should be consideration, not on consent.
Right.
This
right.
One really
yeah, because we're going to look at the have information.
And we need a report from you, you know, where it is, the whole bill, what we're really looking at, what the ramifications are, what things. I mean, we've expressed some really important issues, and we really need to address that. I agree, but I think it's not such a bad idea as a board to look at it.
We can write a pros cons.
Yeah.
So if we were to come out,
we want to break down the bill. We want to see exactly what
it
the
says.
Bill says.
Yeah. And how.
And then we can follow that by an analysis of whether we feel that there should be any proposed changes in the bill or not, and then have the discussion as whether to support or oppose or watch.
Yeah, I think it's important if we're going to oppose.
We have to have a reason.
That we have a reason and we know what we want.
Yes.
I think that's really important.
Absolutely.
It can't just be that we're sending a message, this process sucks, you know.
Sometimes it...
I know. No. I think that's
good. That may
good.
Be the end result of the analysis.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out.
Maybe we don't like the restrictions, or maybe quietly we support it because it's let's wait and see.
We'll go in depth, but right now the way it's written, it just mimics the way that agencies have to respond to notification levels set by the state and response levels. But given the new information that was dropped on us yesterday by DDW, there may be an opportunity to use this as a vehicle to look at the overall process of how DDW all of a sudden can change its mind without oversight. So right now, it, as it is, it was just going in alignment with what we thought were part of the orders of how the order of how you do the notification and how to do the response. And we'll confirm, but to my knowledge, it doesn't go into depth about the process of how DDW sets those NOs in response in relation to communication with the administration, with the legislature, anything like that. So maybe there's an opportunity for us to address that process. Mm-hmm. You never know. So we'll work with the consultants and really go in depth of the pros and cons, what the bill does, and maybe some of those possibilities of, you know, the difficulties and challenges that we're experiencing just this last couple of days.
If I might just add, we mentioned the AQUA PFAS work group for talking on this subject, and one of the overarching discussions was the failure of the regulatory process with these regulatory agencies. And so all this legislation that's coming out is kind of showing that process is broken and that the legislators are... going down that road and not following the science-based process, which, you know, there may be various reasons why that's occurring, but I can tell you AQUA, various staff from other agencies are on the same topic in discussing that there's an issue going on and that the process is not working and that having this, you know, all these legislation tossed out as and going different roads is a major concern with people up and down the state. So.
Okay. Do we need a motion to put this on the board?
Well, no, just direction from
the board. I was wondering, because of timing, if they need a response in 2 weeks, would it be good to bring this issue up at WIC and then have a kind of better vetting?
I think it'll take us a little bit more time
to
really go in and do the analyses.
All right. I think the board meeting would be great, and we'll have a full discussion with everybody, and it'll buy us some time to.
Mm-hmm. So. Would we want one of our lobbyists to come down, or be, certainly be available by phone, but maybe have someone come down
for the board meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And it's Okay, I'll let you ask.
Okay.
Well, and if I may, just very briefly, this is Jason Gonzalez again. And, speaking to the process, the May 6th floor analysis on this bill prior to the rather substantial amendments that came in May 24th, it specifically pulled from Orange County Water District's opposition and quoted your opposition in the analysis. So I think it does speak to the comments about the district being heard and, you know, input from those that actually are the ones, the experts on the information. So your position didn't fall on deaf ears. It was literally quoted as in the assembly floor analysis prior to the amendments.
This is good. And so we could probably send them a notice, or you can tell them that we are bringing it to our entire board for consideration. And let's, you know, if they listen to us the first time, then let's make sure they're listening to us again. And so,
well, and it wouldn't take, we couldn't really have action on it until we take it to the board,
sure.
Anyhow.
Yeah, right.
So we haven't lost any time. We
right.
haven't lost anything.
That's right.
Alicia?
Also, when we were briefing Tom Daly's office, Tom Daly was very interested in what our position was on this legislation. So this would be he's really engaged, and this would be really good to give him feedback too. So that's great.
Good. Okay. All right. Can we move on to SB 204?
Absolutely. This is Jason Gonzalez again. SB 204. It's a bill that we're recommending a watch position. It stems from some oversight hearings that took place in 2018 on the State Water Project pertaining to contracts and amendments to the project. It has some requirements for notices to the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. It has notification requirements prior to contracts being amended, 60 days notification. It's really just a transparency effort because of some concerns about the State Water Project and some of those informational hearings that again dated back to 2018. So the recommendation from staff is to continue to watch the bill, but Senator Dodd, we're not anticipating any significant amendments thus far.
Okay. Any comments, questions?
What are some of the pros and cons of this if we were to, let's say, support or oppose? Just watch.
This was a bill that MET had opposed very strongly, and then they, by the time we reviewed it and got it in here, they had gained significant amendments, and so it kind of changed. We would have originally recommended an opposed position to this legislation, but since all those amendments were put in, Aqua and MET are now just at a watch.
How does this affect us directly?
This is about imported water, and so we have a legislative platform position on ensuring reliable water, imported water coming to Southern California. So this is in that imported water section of our legislative platform.
We do purchase a substantial amount of untreated water every year, up to 65,000 feet of water from that.
It's called a pylon. You know what a pylon is? In football, one guy jumps off, another guy.
It's a thing planes fly. Right?
Yeah, so we were like piling on because Matt asked us to help out, probably.
And we purchased 65,000 acres.
I know, but we were like MODOC is more concerned. I know. I think it's a good question. It really is not our. It is our.
And our producers get 20.
They're cared about it, but it's not. I think and the level of importance, AB 56 is much more about our what yes. we're doing than this bill necessarily is, but it does impact.
Our producers still buy 23% of their.
Right. Agreed. It's not unimportant.
Important. Okay.
I'm just not good on analogies to.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
To continue watching it? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Series?
Yes.
Okay.
So we just have
anything? Yes.
One that was brought on.
Yesterday, Aqua sent out an alert regarding AB 402, and that's what I have in front of you.
So this was the matter that was brought on as an emergency item.
This bill was a bill that did not have any fees to water districts in it, and then it was a kind of a bait and switch of information. The analysis that that was given was that it was only impacting small water systems. It was an opt-in, and now they're saying that it will impact all water systems to subsidize this program. And so Aqua is saying, hey, we oppose any new tax or fees on water systems, so we all need to oppose this bill until they amend it to their original intent, which was to authorize the state board to fund the program with fees on only small water systems that opt in. Are you okay with an oppose unless amended position?
So this is basically snuck in a fee on this one?
Yes.
In this?
Mm-hmm.
Last minute? Okay. Yeah, we'll oppose it.
And the funds are being used to subsidize regulatory oversight costs of local primary agencies?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Goes back to the regional water quality control boards?
It's the State Water Resources Control Board's, it's their, where is it? It's the Department of, I'm sorry, I'm not seeing it in front of here.
Isn't it for their funding stabilization program, Alicia?
Yep, but it's with a certain Department of Health. Right?
Local Primary Agencies Program for Funding Stabilization, and now at least what we're understanding is the bill will be amended to basically give the board full discretion to increase fees or establish new fees.
Oh, God, no.
On all public water systems, which would be scary for any number of reasons.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
No, you made the motion.
Oh, I made the motion.
Second.
Director Shelman.
Yes.
Director Zara.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
That enthusiastic.
I'll text Sharon and tell her that we opposed her bill.
This is not Sharon.
Oh, it's not?
No, this is Cork, not Cork Silva.
Oh, my mistake. Thank you for correcting me.
I would have noticed.
I
know her bills very well.
Very nervous.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Let me move on to Fed. Let's move on to Fed. Who's on the phone? Jim Collins?
Yes, okay. Good afternoon, Chairman Green, Chair Green, and members of the committee. Let me start with just a brief recap of some of the activity. Last month, as we prepared and circulated and sent the letter to EPA from the Orange County Congressional Delegation regarding a federal standard, the maximum contaminant level for PFAS, President Sarmiento and Mike had raised the idea of a delegation letter in March when we had lunch with Congressman Correa during the D.C. trip, and the congressman was happy to lead the effort, and OCWD staff drafted a suggested letter for him. It took more than a month to finalize, including explaining the sum and substance of the issue to the rest of the congressional delegation and their staff. They were concerned that the standard of 70 parts per trillion that needed to be discussed, and as we said, the standard had been discussed by EPA as early as the Obama administration and did not represent any new effort by EPA to weaken proposed standards. We also wanted to make sure that we weren't doing anything that was contrary to what might be going on at the state level, and we were able to assure the delegation of that. And again, that the effort was simply being undertaken to establish a uniform nationwide standard. With these understandings in place, Congressman Correa's staff gathered the signatures of the entire Orange County delegation, including Representative Linda Sanchez, who, as you know, represents just a sliver of Orange County. And the letter was delivered to EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler on May 23rd, just before the start of the congressional Memorial Day recess. So we will keep track of when we hear back from him. Sometimes EPA replies quickly and other times not so quickly. In terms of moving forward, Eric will discuss in a minute here the status of PFAS legislation in Congress and what we can expect there in the coming months. And then the other issue we want to discuss today, Lori or Rich will discuss the status of WERDA 2020. As you may have heard, talks between Congress and the Trump administration on a comprehensive infrastructure package broke down last month. That doesn't mean that they can't be revived, but I'll let my colleagues delve into that a bit further. So I'll stop there and defer to Eric.
Thank you, Jim, and good afternoon, everybody. With respect to PFAS status, we still have a whole host of bills out there that are being eligible for consideration. However, the most important timing matter is a bill introduced by Mr. Kildee of Michigan, H.R. 1976, which I think we talked about before. That would require the USGS, United States Geological Survey, to perform a nationwide survey of PFAS compounds and to establish performance standards for monitoring. That bill will receive on the 13th of this month a hearing before Representative Jared Huffman's Subcommittee on Water, Oceans, and Wildlife. The Mr. Huffman is a co-sponsor of this bill. This is purely just a survey bill. It is not a cleanup bill or anything like that. The district has identified some concerns about the fact that in establishing a standard for monitoring, that local water agencies are not identified as agencies for collaboration with USGS in establishing the performance standards. Only higher education, research institutes, and other expert stakeholders identified. So this is something that we can work with Representative Huffman, if you so desire, to put water agencies in there as eligible entities for collaboration with USGS. So that's where we're on PFAS. If you had to look at where PFAS is headed in the next several months, it appears that, and I think it was mentioned earlier, that we're looking at some kind of nationwide MCL, an enforceable standard of the Safe Drinking Water Act, to be the process that will unfold later this year. And the second thing I want to bring to your attention is we attended a meeting of, shall we say, trade associations representing the interests of the water sector, everybody from AMWA to AWWA to National Association of Clean Water Agencies, WEF, and some of the solid waste management companies to discuss PFAS and PFOS and how to deal with it. And right now, those stakeholders are looking at trying to get Congress to focus on establishing nationwide standards based on sound science, if you will, to avoid the problem of creating a cleanup standard that is not justified by the science underlying the knowledge of PFAS and PFOS. And the other issue they talked about, which has a bearing on this whole issue of how we handle PFAS, is that most of the challenges now that are coming up from PFAS are a function of imported chemicals as opposed to domestically produced chemicals. PFAS and PFOS basically are not produced domestically any longer or used in the manufacturing process. So that's the other thing that's going on. In tandem with the PFAS H.R. 1976 hearing, Representative Huffman's committee will also hold at the same day a hearing on two water bills, the Harder Water Recycling Groundwater Authorization Bill and the Grace Napolitano Water Recycling Bill. Both those bills do the same thing when it comes to water recycling, increasing Title 16 to $500 million over 5 years and increasing the authorized ceiling for water recycling projects from $20 million to $30 million. Our expectation is at the end of the day, Representative Huffman will use the Harder Bill, H.R. 2473, as a vehicle to roll in any number of water resources issues in the coming months. but most likely this will lay over until the next session of Congress next year as far as final action is concerned. And then over in the Senate,
Eric, quickly. Who are all the Californians on Huffman's committee? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, I can sort of give you almost a complete list.
Okay.
Democrats, you've got Lowenthal, Levin, Costa, Huffman, Napolitano. There's one other member who escapes me on the Republican side. You have Doug LaMalfa and Tom McClintock.
Okay.
And so you've got a heavy contingent, if you will, of California members on that subcommittee.
Okay. And maybe that we know.
Here, Mindy, Eric. That was the only one to look out.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, and most of them we know. Okay, thanks.
So just to close the loop, Senator Feinstein has been working with Senator Gardner of Colorado put together a bipartisan water drought resiliency bill. We expect that bill to be introduced next week at the earliest. It is essentially a bill to extend elements of the WIN Act. That includes Title 16, water recycling and desalinization authorizations. Much like in the House, the Feinstein bill would provide for $500 million over 5 years and raise the cap from $20 million to $30 million. There's a whole host of issues that don't directly bear on Orange County Water District in the Feinstein bill. However, there are some elements with respect to groundwater and protecting groundwater supplies that could theoretically morph into some kind of PFAS response as the bill is put together in the Senate committee. And again, we'll see a hearing on that bill. It'll lay over until next year, most likely. It'll be part of a massive water package, and most likely a package that contains word of 2020. But Lori's going to talk about that, I think, too. And then finally, on the State Revolving Loan Fund Program, we're still waiting to see the House, what they're going to do on renewing the SRF there. But I will say, step off the lectern right now and answer any questions. Otherwise, I'll turn it over to Laurie.
I have some questions on 1976, HR 96. It says it's funding to carry out provisions, $5 million and then $10 million for each year. What exactly would that money be spent on, and is any of it for treatment?
So none of it would be for treatment. It would all go towards nationwide sampling containers to determine the extent and nature of the threats that are out there in the water column. No direct cleanup money. But I will say, at the end of the day, if they do anything on PFAS, it's going to be a lot like the lead in drinking water issue. Somewhere, somehow, somebody is going to end up putting some kind of language in there to give Congress the authority to fund cleanup assistance. That would be my bet. For local agencies, not just defense facilities.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'd like to see us push for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Definitely. Agreed. Lori. Lori,
are you there?
Hi. Good afternoon. Lori, here. I was going to follow up really quickly on PFAS. There was also a bill introduced on the Senate side recently that would require the Department of Defense to phase out PFAS uses within the next 3 years. And then on a markup schedule, Mike Marcus was able to speak with Senate EPW committee staff a couple weeks ago to give his thoughts and the perspective of the water district. I think they were very impressed, Mike, and what you and the district are doing on this. And EPW is saying they're going to try to mark up this bill this month or the next month. And as Eric said, there are going to be a lot of hearings on the House side. They're hoping to do the same schedule if they get legislative hearings done. And on the WERDA side, at the committees that oversee WERDA also oversee the transportation reauthorization bill. And so right now they're focused on working on that bill because it expires next September 2020. But the reason why I wanted to raise it is that we'll start beginning to consider it next year. And the now that we can no longer earmark our projects in the annual water bills, it's really up to the Corps of Engineers to let Congress know which projects are ready. And they have a process they established a couple of years ago called the Section 7001 process. And they published in the Federal Register a few weeks ago. And they asked local sponsors of Army Corps projects any modifications or want their projects to be authorized to submit to the Corps by mid-August. And then the Corps evaluates these projects and decides which ones are ripe for authorization and next water bill. So I've shared that with Greg Woodside and Alicia and Eleanor, and we'll start working on that on our comments soon. For products.
Okay.
The feasibles.
Yeah. Any other comments, questions? Do we have a motion on H.R. 1976?
Well, I don't have a motion yet, but I had a comment. I was looking at the bill here in the package, and it does say sample everything everywhere, basically, throughout the country. And the collaboration that they refer to, it's appropriate federal, state regulators, institutions, higher education, research institutions, and other expert stakeholders. I don't know if we'd be considered other expert stakeholders that would not necessarily, you know, we would ask to have water districts included. Maybe that's how we are defined.
I think that was the suggestion,
yeah.
Was it not?
Yeah. Is that the only reason we're just watching it, is that we need to have a little bit more local...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're trying to get in the bill some sort of language that would allow us to be considered.
Right.
Other expert stakeholders may be defined that way.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's ambiguous, problem. I agree we should...
A little bit more specificity, that's all.
If we achieve that specificity, will we support it?
Well, it's a USGS, and they take forever to basically do anything, decades on. That's a federal way. But they're specifying, get the sampling done this year, report within 90 days. Mm. It's probably going to be like 9 months.
I think we would consider supporting it if we could do that.
Yeah. But they ought to get our data included in their data set.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that, maybe that would fit. I guess the data that's already been collected by other agencies in the country.
Do you know, Jason or Pat, do we report to EPA any of the results of our testing?
Just to the state, right?
I mean, UCMR went to EPA, but no, it's probably just the state.
So they do have our data through UCMR.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. Are there any agencies that have supported this?
Eric, do you know?
So I'm unaware of any agencies that to date have supported it. I think to just put a finer point on this discussion, the reason USGS is being selected to do this work is because they've got a national network of stream gauge monitoring in place, so that the infrastructure in many ways is out there already to start doing some of this work. So I think that's the, if you will, the genesis of this legislation, as opposed to having EPA or someone else do it.
Yeah, it seems to be focusing more on the natural environment, you know, streams, rivers, what have you, not necessarily wellheads.
That's right.
So, they'll find it in a sand in a river.
That's right.
If, whenever you, if you take it in the spring, we'll find it, but in the summer, sure. Yeah. Well,
do we have a motion?
To continue to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll move that recommendation.
Okay.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Shelton?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
When does Congress go on recess again?
They'll be leaving the end of June, and they'll be out for the week of the 4th. That's, I guess, July 1st through the 6th.
Yes.
Oh, and then they're back?
Okay.
They are back for the month to wreak havoc, and then they're gone for the month of August.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just thinking about, with all the bills and everybody studying, I just wondered, was everything going to fall through, but it doesn't sound like it. Okay. How about outreach report?
So everything is in the report. I just wanted to acknowledge, yesterday was mentioned at the board meeting of OC Water Summit. Just wanted to let you know the video that Fritz Coleman does for us. Staff creates the script, and then we send it over to Fritz, and he records it with a green screen behind him, sends the file back, and then Tyler does all of the animations and things behind that. So Tyler really... produces that video, and I just wanted to let you know. I know that there's some assumptions that maybe NBC4 does that, but that's all Tyler's wonderful work, and just wanted to acknowledge that he does a wonderful, wonderful job. In fact, Fritz is committed to coming again next year, and he invited us to actually go in the studio and direct him while he does the recording this time. So he was really complimentary of Tyler, and he appreciated that.
Yeah, it was
so
very
just
well
wanted
done.
To let you know.
I asked Fritz how long he planned on doing the weather and comedy gigs. He says, like, another year.
Wow.
So it'll be like his Bob Pierce farewell.
Last night, I don't know if you know it, but we showed the
yes,
video.
I
and we did acknowledge staff's work. I didn't name any... Did I name anybody? I don't know.
You named plenty of people.
Certainly not Tyler, though.
No, I was going to say I didn't.
I just wanted people to be made aware, because there's an assumption that NBC4 creates it, but really Tyler does all of the dynamo stuff. So.
Well, you could tell that the script was from each agency, because I went on the Twin Tunnels. And supporting the Twin Tunnels and not giving up on the Twin Tunnels is definitely only the messaging from only one agency in Southern California.
Generally one
right.
person in that
yeah,
agency.
Right.
Okay.
Would it be possible to have this presentation done at a city at Colton City Council? Can I at the video to show it there as a presentation? It's a short enough video.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. You're welcome to do that. We can provide the link and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've had interest. I know about that other agencies are posting it online on their social media, wanting to share it.
Yeah, I'd love to show it.
Even out in the community when they're doing Speakers Bureau, welcome to Yeah,
I'll use it in the next city council meeting as a presentation.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing is when awards come up, this would certainly fit into a lot of those awards, particularly if we all start taking it to our own agencies or other places, that you would get a lot of hits on it. You would get, you know, we could, I don't know how we get the data for that, but... Sure, there's some way.
It is posted on the website, I think, isn't it, or it will be?
Yeah, it's posted already. We paid for
wow.
a social media boost, and how many? It was 3,000 last night.
We have 4,000 views so far. We posted on the website, our YouTube, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram. Trying to get it up.
Yeah, and some of our speakers are sharing it on there.
So I'll share it online.
Yeah, so we've done that.
Yeah,
great.
And
we're, I was just thinking in terms of some of the awards. One of the big things where we got the award on our anniversary for GWRS, that communications came back and told me that it was because we had data and we had followed everything and gave them even more than they had asked for. Mm-hmm. So it made it very easy to choose us. So I assume that was telling me to come back and tell you all that so that we can get more awards, if you want more awards, but they never hurt. So, okay, any?
You said it last night, and I said it last night.
Yes.
And everyone else did. What a great job our staff did participating on the panels, and what a great job we did in putting on the event. And it seems to be better every other year. It seems to be a better event every other year. In my personal opinion.
Well, one problem though, the
Skype with
it was awful.
Dr. Farron. Yeah, that was I think the only real issue.
It was like
and the young man,
Willem.
Yeah. Because when you started asking questions, it wasn't water out of nothing. So, anyway.
Well, I want to know, what was the Cape Town professor's talk? It's kind of like over my head.
Yeah. We'll post the presentations. It's a little too technical, especially for her doing it via Skype.
Yeah.
And then there were challenges on stopping her on Skype also, the right. technical things that happened behind the scenes. So.
Oh. Yeah. Well, what was her point?
Did you have any comments?
Basically, the research that she's doing on
we'll hide it.
Resurrection plants right now. At some point could be transferred over to agricultural products that don't require a large amount of water in the future, so that we could still have a very
and incorporating the genes of those plants.
Correct. Right.
Well, the projection of the desertification is startling. Mm-hmm. The Midwest, wow.
Yeah.
And then in the Great Valley, we have.
Okay, I'd like all of the items we took action on consent calendar, except for AB 756. I don't think we quite took action on that.
Nope.
But that on for consideration. Okay. Let's see, director's announcements? Anybody?
Nope.
General managers?
I think we still have Don Gilbert on the line. If
oh, good.
If you want an update on, last night I reported out what we had done. We'd gotten to someone inside the governor's office. And Don, are you still there? Can you give us a real brief nutshell update on where we are?
Yeah, and during this call that we've been on, I actually got another call from the governor's office, so I have fresh news also. So Jason Gonzalez reached out to the LEDGE director. I reached out to the cabinet secretary. It was just kind of whoever got back to us first. And so the cabinet secretary delegated to the chief deputy cabinet secretary, who called last night and basically said nothing's going to happen Thursday or Friday, and let's talk tomorrow. So just finally, he called while we were on this call, and I scratched out my notes. So he said, I'm not vouching for everything he's saying here. He said here, but this is accurate that he said it. So he said that if they take an action. It was explained to him, so he reached out to the Department of, to Division of Drinking Water. I don't know who he spoke with. He didn't offer, so I didn't ask. But he said it will not legally or politically require OCWD to do anything. That's a quote. He said that he was told and that he doesn't hear this very often by the division that they feel like they have a really great working relationship and open relationship with OCWD, who they spoke very highly of. So then when I asked him, can you help arrange a call for OCWD with the right people? Because we want the board and the division to know that OCWD can get to the governor's office, which now they know because he reached out to them, but we wanted to kind of keep that going. He said, you know, given what they said about their relationship with OCWD, he would rather have us, you know, arrange our own call or meeting because otherwise, he thinks that it'll look like we don't agree that we have a good relationship with them. And if it's a problem, if it becomes a problem, he will step in. But he asked that we, not do that unless we determine we really need to, especially since he doesn't think anything is imminent. So I understand what he's saying, and that's the report. So we have some quick thoughts, but before we express them, if there's any questions or comments, we should discuss.
Well, here's the thing. Let me jump in real quick, and I'll need Jason or Pat. And they said this in their meeting. They said, if we drop the response levels, those are just recommendations. In other words, there's nothing legally that they can do that would require a water purveyor to shut a well down even if they exceeded the response level. And that's a bunch of BS, because what they're saying there is, well, we can't tell you. What that's going to say is the city would choose then to serve water that the state deems
contaminated.
Unhealthy. And that's their response. And I mean, no city's going to do that. They're going to shut the well down if they're in exceedance of a response level.
Right. So I'm aware of that because you explained that yesterday. That's why it was, and you know, it was notable to me when he said it will not legally or politically require.
That's a big.
You know, so that was like, that seemed to be at least an attempt to suggest that it is. Now, I'm not saying they're right. Like I said at the beginning, I'm not vouching for their accuracy, just what they said to me. But, you know, but that seems to be an attempt to try to suggest that it won't create the circumstance that you just described, but maybe that's just wrong.
It will, and let me explain. We have instances right now where we have retail water agencies that are above the notification level. Okay, they're under the response level, they're over the notification level, and they're choosing to shut their wells down because they don't want to notify the governing body.
Yeah, I hear you.
That is how politically sensitive this issue is.
So it seems like, you know, we've got some attention from the governor's office. It seems like, given what you're describing, the situation is, what we should do is either we can do this or you can, depending upon what you think, is set up a call. I mean, we would recommend, if we set it up, setting up a call with Darren Polhemus, who, as you probably know, runs that division.
He spoke last Friday down here in Anaheim at our water summit.
Okay.
You want to hear what he said?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
No, I don't think he said anything. He didn't tip the hand although he did privately with Jason suggest that they were considering dropping the notification level. But there was no conversation from him about dropping the response level. That came Monday morning in a work group that we have set up, a PFAS work group, and the district engineer at that time said that by the end of this week they were likely to drop both the notification level and the response level by about 50%.
Right, but I don't think that he gave you accurate information, based on what we've learned from the governor's office. And so, I mean, I don't know if Jason Gonzalez is still on the line, but what at least Jason Eichert and I would recommend is we set up a call, or you set up, you know, we're happy to do it with Darren and you guys, and we'll participate, and we just lay everything out and see what he says, because now we have the imprimatur of the governor's office, you know, engagement on this.
That's fine. Set it up for tomorrow morning.
Well, I don't know his ability, but I'll call him and set it up
if they're thinking about changing the thing by the end of the week, I mean, it's...
No, they're not. I'm telling you that the governor's office has told us they're not doing that.
They said they wouldn't do it according to your email either today or tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
So that implies they could do it on Monday.
Yeah. Okay, we will make our best to get it tomorrow morning. It might not be in the morning because I don't know the guy's schedule. But I'll call him when we hang up and see what his availability is.
Don, this is Jason Gonzalez. If I can jump in, Mike and Don, one additional thought. We've been discussing since this came about yesterday morning a plan B, and that was to engage legislative offices. We may want to pick a couple of legislative offices, perhaps those whose districts could be subject to the largest rate increases should wells get shut down and they have to import water.
Oh, okay.
And work with those chief of staff and put the call together with the legislative offices as well as ourselves in the district. And I'm not saying 10 of them, but a couple key ones. And then Darren has a, we keep the pressure on because, one, we've got the governor's office engaged, and then we bring along the engagement of some legislative key staff and or members. Just a thought to keep a little additional pressure, and because, you know, if the call doesn't go as we want, we're going to be turning to those members anyhow.
Well, that'd be Fullerton. Wow. That'd be Fullerton and Anaheim. So Sharon Quirk, Sylvan, Tom Daly.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. And John Scribner is probably Sharon's chief of staff, and those are probably two very key offices we would turn to anyhow.
Yeah, and maybe Ling Ling Chang also in Yorba Linda.
Yeah, that's fine with me. That's fine with me.
Now, the question for that is that putting that call together may take a couple of days versus tomorrow morning, if tomorrow morning is even feasible. But it's just the thought being is...
Well, listen, if you guys don't think that's fine. If you don't think it's imminent, then just schedule the phone call whenever.
No, it's not Thursday or Friday, but I think if he's available tomorrow, we should do the call tomorrow. I'm just saying I didn't know if he would be available first thing in the morning.
Okay.
But regardless of the availability of the staff for the legislators, it's obviously time sent. You know, we can't take chances. So if he's available tomorrow, I think we got to get on the phone with them.
Yeah, I mean, if DDW is going to say, listen, we're just looking at dropping the notification level, but not the response level, problem solved. Problem goes away. But that's not what we heard.
Right. And so let's hear directly from the horse's mouth, one way or another, then we'll know what we're dealing with. And if we don't like what we're dealing with, then I think. You know, I agree with Jason in terms of engaging your delegation, but also I think we then have an opportunity to go back to the governor's office, because the governor's office, they represented to the governor's office that we're not going to do any harm to anyone down there, meaning political or legal or otherwise. And so if they have misrepresented that, you know, we got to, that will be a problem for them with the governor's office.
Okay.
So, but let's find out by getting in touch with Darren on a phone call as soon as possible.
Sounds good. Madam Chair, I didn't mean to dominate the conversation. If any of the directors want to chime in.
Anybody else?
Nope.
The one thing that we don't want to do is, as much as we want to get the attention to it, we don't also want to burn our sources either. So if we come down too hard, too stringent, then... they may not want to talk to us either.
Well, I think it's what they say will, you know, warrant the level of response. You know, obviously, if they're pushing back and they're saying, no, that's not what we're going to do, I mean, because great, you know, we appreciate it, we can live with that, let's move on. But if they do plan on slashing the response level by 50%, that's huge.
That's huge. I agree. I just
and if they say, well, that's you know, it's not enforceable, it's only advisory, that's not, you're going to see producers shutting all of their wells down.
They don't have any choice. I mean, you want. Everybody's saying you're serving this poisonous water? I mean...
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And Mike, that's the exact message we gave to the cabinet secretary, what you just said. And I think that's why they got right on it and contacted the division. So,
right.
We'll see what happens.
No, I appreciate everything that you guys did. You jumped right on it. I only had to double the dose of my my high blood pressure medicine this morning by two, but I've got a doctor in the room, so I feel confident if something happens right now.
It's all a good day.
Did you tell him you're a pathologist?
Podiatrist?
Pathologist.
You do not want to come to me.
It would be after the fact.
Oh! That's what I was trying to tell you. You don't know how funny. Sorry,
Mike,
it's medical humor.
I can't guarantee how the call's going to go, so bring some medical marijuana.
Why medical? It's legal.
Gentlemen, this is Steve Sheldon. Thank you for your communication with the Cabinet Secretary. We appreciate your relationship and your access there. That's wonderful. We certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do for you guys.
That is what you're supposed to do for us. Nice to have that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
And we recognize it.
Thank you.
So they were just happy you were doing what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you're getting a bonus.
All right.
Is there anybody behind pushing it out?
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thanks.
Bottled water industry.
Oh, I don't know.
So you're good for now,
Steve. We're adjourned.
We're adjourned. Let's still do that.
Oh, that's amazing.